This is Native Voices United Radio, the radio station with the Indigenous perspective.
I wanted to start by sharing one story. I know we did our prayer, and, you know, we're always trying to remind ourselves of the things that are important before we start anything. The Haudenosaunee call their Thanksgiving prayer the words that come before all else. The reason we do that is so that before we do and decide anything, and we have to remember all the things that we should be thankful for, all of the gifts and all the things, that the reason we get together and we do things is to make sure that we have a continuation of celebrating life. And that's why we do that prayer, so that we remember those things. And, you know, our prayer can, their Thanksgiving prayer goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And ours could, too, depending on how many things we want to remember today. I just tried to remember a few things because I wanted to tell a story, and I'll tell the story. This is of a non-Native man. I've recently found out that one of my grandfathers, his name was Klingersmits. He come from a German family that lived in Pennsylvania. And through the different relations that were going on at that time, it ended up where that boy was taken. And he was adopted into the Oneida Nation, which is also my family. And he lived with the Oneidas his whole life. So much so that he ended up marrying a Seneca woman. And he took on, and he lived there, and he was adopted in, and lived his life as being an Oneida and an Ongwehoe. And he got word, he lived in Six Nations, and he got word that his family had passed away and that there was land that he could claim back in Pennsylvania. So he traveled from Canada, Six Nations, and this was about what, 1770. About the 1770s. And he traveled from Six Nations all the way back to Pennsylvania to reclaim this land. And when he got there, the family that, the non-Native family, the German family that was there, said that he could only have the land if he left his Indian family behind, that he had to leave his wife. And he decided that he wasn't going to leave his Seneca wife, and he decided to leave his land and his family, his blood family, and moved back with the Oneidas back in Six Nations. And since he moved back to Six Nations, he's one of my great-grandfathers that come from Six Nations. Three-quarters of my family come from Six Nations. And there's even Skaticoke in there. I was talking to Gary today, and he said that my Skaticoke that I come from were actually refugees from out of New York from the King Philip's War, which places me right back to Massachusetts as a family member, going right back there to the Skaticoke family. But either way, what I was saying is this grandfather, they called him Good Peter. And my Uncle Daryl used to talk about Good Peter and the Klingersmits, and that we had this German blood in us. But either way, what I was trying to get across with the story is that we adopted people into our nation. In saying that, that meant that we determined who was going to be inside our family. We were the ones, and we lived such a life that even the non-Native people that came to live with us didn't want to give up their Indian way of life to go back and live the way the Shawanic lives. So out of that, I'm trying to teach my family that, you know, we're very loyal in the way that we are with our family. And not only that, we are also self-determining. We are also acted in a sovereign way, that we decided who was going to be a part of our nation. And Good Peter was actually a chief in the Oneida Big House. So he was adopted in and became chief. So that was before Canada was Canada and the U.S. was the U.S. We were adopting people. We had our own sovereignty. We had our own way of life. And even the non-natives that came to live with us wanted to stay with us. You know, I watched Dances with Wolves, and I said, oh, that's just, you know, there's all kinds of people that want to be like us. And that's true. And were we, the people on the families on the East Coast, are being the ones that are being called the wannabes, and which is so far off from the way that the original people that wanted to be like us, and even the people that wanted to be like us back before the U.S. was the U.S. and Canada was Canada, we took those people in. We didn't look at them and say, well, you're a wannabe. You can't practice our culture. You can't speak our language. You can't live in our communities. You can't marry our women. You can't have grandbabies here. And you certainly can't be our chief. That is totally wrong by that story. We as Eastern families, we as Lenape people, were sovereign nations. Our identity, and I'm going to say this again, they said that you have to hear things four times and then it becomes wisdom. And then you hear it four times again and you get a little more wisdom. Then you hear it four times again and it just goes in cycles. But I tell the story of Lenape, you know, that means that we came from thought, that we are determined and governed initially by our original treaties. I was thinking about fiduciary responsibility today and how we fight for in Canada for treaty reparations and treaty obligations. And the original treaty that we had, we don't even live up to. Meanwhile, we're asking non-native governments to live up to our treaties. Our original treaty was with creation. There was a time when we were created that they brought all the animals together. This is after the Missing story. If Chuck is here or Peter's here, the ones that know the Missing story, after the Missing had protested that he didn't want human beings to be a part of creation, the animals got together and they decided, and they called this story the Great Council, and they said this story can go on for 4 days if you can tell it. And in the story, it talks about how all the animals, the trees, the plants, the sky, they all lived in families, just like human beings do. If you go out and look at the trees, you can see the grandfather trees and the grandbaby trees all living together. The grandfather trees holding up over protecting the babies. The grandma trees, all those things lived in families. And when they called this great council together, the creator explained to the different chiefs that we were such a pitiful people, that we were so pitiful that we couldn't survive without food. We couldn't survive without water. We couldn't survive in the cold. We couldn't survive in the total heat. We couldn't survive without medicine. So all those things, the different families of creation step forward. And if you can tell this story, you can tell the different things. And it takes a lot of different storytellers to tell the story, because you can step forward and talk about the sassafras, what the sassafras chief said. He's got to come forward and said, you can use my roots to make tea for a medicine. You can take my trunk and my body and use it for a pole for fishing. You can take the leaves and eat them. There's three different leaves on there. But there's everything in creation has a story. And they all have a gift that they give us. And in order for us to live in creation under that treaty that we made at that time, was we were to follow four laws: to be honest, to be kind, to be respectful, and to share. My mother explained this to me, and when she said that, she said, it's impossible for you to do that with everything you meet. If you could, you would be a perfect person. But since there's no perfect people, all we can do is strive to do our best. And they say, out of those four teachings, whatever one you can't remember, that's probably the one you need to work on that day. But either way, that was the only agreement we had to make when we made this first treaty with all these different animals and families of creation. And in honoring that first treaty, we had to understand natural law. When all the chiefs stepped forward, they told us how they were related to us. The bees told us how they move pollen. The birds told us how they move seed. All the different animals talked how they were interrelated. And we understood that story, and we understood that to be natural law. When we look out into creation, everything in creation is doing its job. It's honoring its traditional treaty that they had with the human beings, with the rest of the families of creation. The trees are still reaching for the sky. They're still giving oxygen. The waters are still flowing. They're still giving life. The medicines are still growing in the bush. The food is still growing. The berries are coming. The strawberries will be here soon. All of those different things we understood. And how we learned to remember those things was by giving thanks and giving celebration in our big house. And that's why we have our big house. We have the 12 masks in there, and they represent the 12 moons. The actual 13th mask is the top of the building that faces the Creator. That's the shape of the building. But under the 13 moons of creation, we celebrated and sang songs for the syrup in March. We sang for the suckerfish in the spring. We sang for the pickerel that come in April. We sang for the strawberries that come in June. We had stories and ceremonies, and then we celebrated those. And that's what we taught to our kids. Through that big house, that's the way that we remember. We remember how to celebrate life. We remember the original treaties that were given to us and that we agreed to with the rest of creation. So by using and returning to our ceremonies in the big house, that's how we remember our original instructions. And then as we find our people and bring them back together, we can find the people that hold those gifts, that learn, the ones that are connected to the trees, the ones that are connected to the stones, the ones that are connected to the bush, all those different things. And as you go into our big house, there's all different pieces of it. You talk to my brother Brent, and he talks about how we used it for governance and how every 4 years we come together, and all the families of the East Coast came together so that we could understand trade, so we could understand hunting areas, so that we could understand and finish disputes. That's why they called up the grandfather tribe, the Lenape, because when they came, we were depended on to settle those disagreements when that meeting came. It wasn't to stop wars. Sure, it stopped wars, but it was meeting and celebrating in our big house and remembering what to give thanks for. Just as important as that prayer is that I began with, so is our big house. Because we have to lead with that foot. If we lead with our big house, the celebration of remembering those gifts and honoring the treaties of creation, remembering our original instructions, and I'm remembering that is the legislation, the natural law that governs us in creation. And that's what Lin-Na-Bell means. It refers to that being that made that original agreement with all those families. It has nothing to do with federal recognition that we have today. It has nothing to do with state recognition. It has nothing to do with finding records of empirical data, whether it's written or recorded or written in a Bible or wherever it is. There was nothing in there that said, this is what you need to be a Lenape. This is what you need to be to celebrate life and to remember the gifts and honor our original instructions. You didn't have to prove ancestry. And I'm of the opinion that once we start to do that, we've lost. Once somebody asked us to prove ourselves under the federal government or under the historical academic standards of the day or of the legal parameters of the day in courts, all of those things are set up so that we will never get that status. History is written so that the Indian problem is dealt with. Policy and legislation are written so that the Indian problem is dealt with. And how is it dealt with? You do away with status. You do away with recognition, because then you don't have to honor treaties. Then you don't have to think about any type of reparations for dispossession from land, from moving people out of land, from genocide, for the spiritual conversion the assimilation and colonization, all of those things that have happened to us that we suffer from. I put a story up the other day about suicide because I go through that depression with my health. But not only I think about my health, and my son said to me, you know what? I work out every day because I see how you are in your diabetes. I see that how sick you are, and I don't want that to happen to me. And he eats healthy, and he goes to the gym every night. He weighs 275 pounds. He's 6'2", and he's got no fat on him. But he did that because he saw me sick. And me having diabetes is one of the ailments, the physical ailments, as well as social ailments that our communities face, whether you live in a Native community or whether you live in just Native families, domestic abuse, solvent abuse, sexual abuse, domestic abuse, all those ailments were not a part of us. They're not a part of our original instructions. They were never a part of our four laws. So all those things we suffer from are after effects of what has happened to us. So what I'm saying, I guess, what I'm getting back to here is when we think about this, the concept that I'm trying to get across is we need to return to what our original identity was. And that's governing ourselves under natural law, governing ourselves according to our original instructions, to the original treaties with creation. If we do that, we need to act in a sovereign way. I called my friend yesterday, and he's a community planner, but he does it for countries. And he's Jewish from Toronto, and I asked him, can you give us any advice on how the Jewish people do it? Because I don't see Jewish people coming to Canada saying, I want my federally recognized Jewish status so that I can get a little bit of money for education and I can get pennies for health care and I can be put in a system that's going to cripple me for the rest of my life. We don't see the Muslim community coming asking for Muslim recognition, for federal recognition, so that they can celebrate the things that they do. The Jewish people don't ask for gatekeepers for the Torah, nor do we need gatekeepers for the big house. We need to act in a sovereign way. And as we move forward, I know this is about stopping Strongwalker and what he's done to us. And I think what I need is to try and start walking down that healing path that has happened. And in order for that to happen, I think some of us need to tell our stories of what has happened and how we've been bullied. I think if you have something or you have enough courage to talk about the things that have happened to you personally or to your community personally, I want you to speak from personal experience, because that's the only truth we have. We don't want to hear any hearsay or theirsay. We want to hear from what, if you have something to share, and then we can start thinking about those things. And we can together give that support and give that love that we need from each other, that confidence, so that our backs are straight, our eyes are straightforward, so that we walk with pride and that we say that we're Lenape, regardless if we have the paperwork to prove it or if we have a card that the federal government gives us. So right now, I think part of that healing process is telling our stories. And after we tell a little bit of our stories, then I think we can decide which way we want to go. Me and Rod and me and Ato and Cedar have been talking this week that we take the stance as a sovereign entity, that we're not bound by historical document. We're not bound by federal legislation, by state legislation to say who we are, that we should be standing and saying we determine who our community is. We're the ones that determine who our chiefs are. We're the ones that determine what language we speak, how we celebrate life, what ceremonies we do, what songs we sing, or even who sits around the drum, because that's what the drum was for us to celebrate life and to keep that peace between the men. So with that, I thank you for taking the time to listen to me.